Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, a very, very, very pleasant good evening to you. November 19, 2024. It's the Fan Evening Show right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'm Jack Hillgrove. Taking you up until 10:35 tonight. Nightly sports call with Pomp and Pony gets underway at 10:35. But we're going to hang out. We're going to have some fun up until then. And you know the number, 412-928-9370. The phone lines are going to be open all night, getting you set for a short week. Steelers, Browns, Thursday Night Football coming at you from Cleveland on Thursday. Fresh off of a win over the Baltimore Ravens. I try to think of something else to call it, but, you know, a win is a win. Joel Nelson on the ones and twos tonight with us until 10:35 as well. This game against the Ravens was one of those that I thought that if the Steelers won, that it would put them into the upper echelon of 2024 teams in the National Football League. And I said that on my show last week, that if they get this win, you know, I'm going to feel good about it and I'm going to put the Steelers in that class. I don't think I'm quite there yet. I'm going to walk back on what I said, because what went on Sunday, there were still some concerns in my book. I thought the running game could have been a little bit better. Now, it was a lot better than it was in the Washington game. I still think Najee Harris has kind of taken a couple of steps back from that three-game stretch to where he looked like one of the best tailbacks in the league. Russell Wilson, I thought, kind of took a step back as well. 23 for 36, 205, the interception. While a lot of us, I think, watch that play, the Russell Wilson interception, and look at it and say, you know what, Darnell Washington is like 7 feet tall almost. I would have appreciated it if he jumped. Yeah, I mean, if he jumps and makes an attempt for that football, that's probably not a Russell Wilson interception. I just don't love the throw. I don't love the decision in that moment from Russ. So there's more out of Russ that I would have liked to see. And there were a couple of plays, like Van Jefferson was targeted, what, only once? I thought it might have been twice. He had a bad drop. Calvin Austin had one reception for -1 yard. And Mike Williams, I didn't know this until listening to Pony and Muller earlier in the day. He had 25 snaps in the game against the Ravens. Was not targeted in the passing game once. You know, it's still, the passing game to me is still almost a little too one-dimensional when you look at the stat sheet and you see George Pickens, 8 receptions for 89 yards and 12 targets, and the next highest targeted receiver is Najee Harris with 5. So I'd like to see a little bit more balance in that regard. I'd like to see Mike Williams get involved a little bit more. I'd like to see better decision-making from Russell Wilson. And I'd like to see the run game take off a little bit. And what better of an opportunity than this week against the 2-8 Cleveland Browns? I don't care that Mike Tomlin is 1-7 in Thursday Night Football road games. I don't care that the Steelers haven't won on Thursday night in Cleveland, and I don't care that the Browns have won 8 consecutive Thursday night home football games. None of that matters to me. The only thing that matters to me is the win-loss column. The Steelers are 8-2. The Browns are 2-8. This is a game in which the Steelers need to go out and win by at least 2 scores. I don't care that they just came off of a tough-fought game, a tough win against the Ravens. I don't care that, you know, AFC North ball, Steelers, Ravens, throughout the record book, it might take a lot out of the Steelers on a short week. It doesn't matter to me. The job for the Steelers and the job for Mike Tomlin is to get them ready to play the games assigned on their schedule. And just because that this Browns game on a Thursday night comes after a Ravens game on a Sunday doesn't give them a pass in my book. If they don't come out and win this game in convincing fashion, I'm not demanding a blowout. I'm not demanding for a shutout. Just, I want to watch the game on Thursday night and have a little to no doubt in my mind from kickoff to zeros in the fourth quarter that the Steelers, A, were the better team, and B, were in control the entire night. And they have an opportunity to do that. And like I said, all of the metrics, all the numbers leading up to this game, how poor the Steelers play in Cleveland on Thursday night and how poor they've been on Thursday night road games in the last 7-8 years, it does not matter to me. The Browns are 2-8. They're at the bottom of the league in a lot of offensive and defensive categories. They're playing with a backup quarterback in Jameis Winston. And Nick Chubb in the running game for them is not quite there yet. Now, the one concern that I do have is I'm fearful that Chubb has gotten enough game under his belt to this point in the season to where he might be close to breaking out. But still, the Browns' rushing offense this year is 29th in the league. Chubb, to this point so far in the season, ends averaging just 3 yards a carry. And defensively, other than Myles Garrett, who might not play this weekend, they don't stick out a whole lot to me either. They're banged up in the secondary. They might have, what, 3 cornerbacks this week? They traded away Za'Darius Smith. And other than, again, Myles Garrett, who potentially might not play this week, I'm optimistic that Russell Wilson will have time to throw the football. I'm optimistic that the running backs will be able to get going, and that'll allow Arthur Smith to stay on schedule with the play calling and give the Steelers an opportunity to win this game in convincing enough fashion. Elijah Moore, questionable. David Njoku, questionable still. DeJuan Jones just popped up on IR today. I feel like the stars are aligning for the Steelers to come out and really take care of business. Jedrick Wills is questionable. The Browns might be without two of their... They're going to be without one, maybe 2 starting tackles. TJ Watt should have a field day. And on the flip side of things, Myles Garrett will probably not be 100% if he plays at all. The offensive line for the Steelers should be able to take care of business. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as the show rolls along. And a couple of other things on the docket tonight as well. Number one, Paul Skeens. The Jackie Robinson National League Rookie of the Year. 23 first place votes, 136 points. Convincing enough over Jackson Merrill, who I think a lot of people thought that might of giving the award to over Paul Skeens. It was trending more towards Skeens in the end. What does that mean for the Pittsburgh Pirates moving forward? And I heard Andrew and Chris talking about it, and Andrew posed the question, and I will tonight too. Does it make you more optimistic that the Pirates might be able to put something together in 2025? That's a question that you can ask, and we'll answer it. 412-928-9370. We're going to talk to the Post-Gazette's Noah Hiles at 8 o'clock about Paul Skeens winning National League Rookie of the Year, what it means for the Pirates in 2025, and also, I think what's on a lot of people's minds, free agency, what the Pirates can do in the offseason, what should they do in the offseason to make themselves a contender in 2025 in a National League Central division that is winnable. And with the Pirates pitching rotation, like we've talked about time and time again, a team that might be a threat in the National League next year. It is possible, but money needs to be spent, and money needs to be spent the right way. So we'll go over some names with Noah at 8 o'clock. Before that, though, top of the 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Nick Faribault, PennLive.com, and get his take on how the Steelers are shaping up heading into Thursday night football with the Cleveland Browns. Arthur Smith talked a little bit today, too. I have some clips that I want to play later on in the 7 o'clock hour, talking about Justin Fields and the fine line that there is of getting Fields involved versus, I would assume, disrupting the rhythm of Russell Wilson and the flow of, you know, one quarterback in that huddle. Because you'll hear it, Arthur Smith said it's a fine line a couple of times. And I would assume the line is between getting Fields going, making him an impact, and then obviously disrupting the flow with Russell Wilson. So he talks about that, compares it to something that Arthur Smith was a part of in the past. You'll hear from the OC later on in the show. And then at 9 o'clock, Stephen Thompson of the Post-Gazette will join us. We'll talk Pitt hoops. We'll talk Pitt football and how the Panthers football program will be shaping up these last two games, both road games, before bowl season. The Panthers are bowl eligible, but it seems like the options are dwindling, and they were dwindled, I guess, from the start with the new 12-team playoff. I mean, how valuable and how credible is a bowl appearance nowadays anyway? We could talk about that, too, if you have an opinion on it at 412-928-9370. That's also the Fan Text Line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Your phone calls, your texts on the other side of the break. Let's get this thing rolling. Actually, we got a couple of people on hold. We'll get to them before the break. Joel, that's on me. I didn't have the call screen pulled up. We'll go to Lou in Staten Island, who's been waiting. Hey, Lou.
Hey, how you doing? First time I got a chance to talk to you, man. You do good work.
I appreciate you saying that, and I appreciate you calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you know, I tried to call the guys earlier, and I got caught up doing something. But, you know, I've been calling the station for 7 years.
Okay.
Majority of my calls are always anti-Tomlin or when they lose. So when a team wins, you have to have fun with it, right? Because if you don't, it means you never have any fun when you're watching the team. And I think there was an overreaction, and this is as far as what Pony was saying with Russell Wilson. And what I'm saying is this. The way I root for this team when it comes to the Ravens, whether we win or we lose, I do not over-exaggerate the way the game played out, how the game played out, how many points were scored. Everything is off the table when we play the Ravens. So the fact they kicked six field goals and he threw the bad pick in the end zone, I don't care. We won the game, and that's all that matters to me, and we move on to next week. He coached extremely well at the end of that game. And anybody who knows me, you don't hear this too often when it comes to Mike Tomlin. And let me tell you what he did masterfully. He called that timeout at the two-point conversion, which was tremendous, and it forced Harbaugh to change his play call. And by not running Najee Harris directly into the line on three consecutive plays, won us the end of the game. Because if he does that, they're not getting the first down, they kick the ball off, and then you're asking our defense to make like the 12th stop which the odds were most likely he was going to bring them down the field and beat us, or at least, yeah, kick the field goal, right? Yeah. So the reality is that he coached that game tremendous. Now, fast forward to Thursday. This is where me and you disagree, if you want to hear me out.
Okay.
Pony said that he'd be okay with a loss. I'm nowhere near that.
Neither am I. We agree on that. I would be incredibly disappointed if they lose this game.
Me too. And if your aspirations are winning the division, you have to win both games against the Browns. I watched the Browns game yesterday against the Saints. They gave up 550 yards of offense.
Exactly.
Their defense was atrocious. Myles Garrett was MIA. Didn't even see the man on the field the entire game. So the issue is, if you look a lot of times after we play the Ravens, their physical games were beat up, short week, going on the road. I get all that. But if you want to win the division, figure out a way to win the game. Again, I don't care if it's 12-10. Just figure out a way, right? That gets us to 9 wins. At that point, we're looking at an 11 or a 12-win season, even if we go 500 the rest of the way, or even a game under 500 the rest of the way.
Yeah, Lou, I'm going to let you go there. I have to get to another call here. And that's where we do disagree. I'm concerned if the Steelers only win this game 12-10. Because I look at that, a 12-10 game against the Browns, to me, doesn't translate to being able to beat Buffalo or beat Kansas City in January if it comes to it. I'm getting to the point now with the Steelers is that I look at 8-2 and say, okay, 8-2 is a top record in the AFC. We should expect top results in the postseason. Mark on the road. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Jack. Appreciate you taking my call.
You got it, man.
So just to kind of talk about a little bit of what that last caller was saying, like a lot of people are saying that this game, weather is definitely going to be a factor for this game, is what they're saying for Thursday. They're saying it's going to be kind of a not so pleasant evening, a lot of wind gusts around like 40 miles an hour. So I think, unfortunately, that could, you know, take a toll on the Steelers offense, just because that Russell Wilson moon ball is like so key to getting like an offense like ours started.
Sure, but Mark, if you look at it, what the last caller just said, I mean, the Browns gave up 140 yards to Taysom Hill last week. Get Justin Fields in there. If you're really concerned about the wind and Russell Wilson being able to throw the ball with that kind of wind, let it be a 50-50 split between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, and let Justin Fields do what Taysom Hill did to him on Sunday. Run like crazy, and then sprinkle Najee Harris in there, sprinkle Jaylen Warren in there. Run the ball. If the Steelers throw for 100 and run for 300, I'd be thrilled. You need to find a way to win this game and win this game in a convincing fashion. And honestly, you know, being able to not throw the football against this or because of that might not be the worst thing in the world. And even so, the Browns are going to be dealing with a lot of injuries in their secondary this week as well.
Yeah, I agree. I really think this would be a good game for them to throw the ball between the numbers and utilize like the tight ends in the middle of the field and establish a really strong running game against this defense. And I really think that would be a big key to them really taking it to the Browns and, you know, getting that 2-score victory in this game.
Yeah, Mark, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. So a text came in couple of minutes ago. You don't always have to dominate a divisional game, and the Browns have a quarterback that just threw for 350 yards. The Browns also lost by 3 touchdowns to the Saints, and I don't think the Saints are a particularly very good football team. The Browns also gave up, again, 138 rushing yards to Taysom Hill, who's an interesting player and has been for some time in the National Football League. But if Taysom Hill can run for 138 yards against the Browns, you expect them to be able to fix that on a short week with a banged-up defense? No. Let Justin Fields run rampant on this Browns defense. Let Jaylen Warren, let Najee Harris, let those guys go to work. And the last caller made a great point. Throw the ball. If you're worried about the high winds, throw it 5-10 yards down the field. Dink and dunk. Get Darnell Washington more involved in the passing game, which I've liked to see the last couple of games. Not so much about him not jumping for a ball in the end zone at 6'8", but that's neither here nor there. Get Pat Freiermuth involved a little bit more. And Mike Williams is a big body, too. allow him to run some routes over the middle and create some space. There's a lot we can dissect about how the Steelers should attack the Browns on Thursday night and how you feel about this game going in. Let's talk about it at 412-928-9370. 625 is now time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. More of your calls, more of your texts. I'm Jack Hillgrove on the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Evening show. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'm Jack Hillgrove. I'm with you until 10:35 tonight. It's The Fan Evening Show right here on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Cross your radio dial, Odyssey app, YouTube, video stream, online, all that good stuff, however you're joining us. Thanks for taking the time out of your evening and chatting with us. 412-928-9370 is the number if you want to talk Steelers. That's where we're at now. Penguins getting set to take on Tampa Bay tonight. Jake Guentzel makes his return to PPG Paints Arena. You want to talk Penguins if you're on your way to the game, if you're getting parked, all that good stuff, and you want to talk Penguins, feel free to give us a buzz. And Paul Skeens, National League Rookie of the Year nominee for the Cy Young Award, although I don't think he'll be the Cy Young winner. I think that's pretty much going to be Chris Sale in Atlanta. Nonetheless, to have the rookie year that Paul Skeens did is nothing short of phenomenal. And we'll talk about that with Noah Hyles at 8 o'clock. Nick Faribault with the Steelers at 7. And then Stephen Thompson with Pitt at 9. Another interesting Steelers tidbit that I saw waiting for the show to begin. Daniel Jones gets benched by the Giants. And not only benched, I believe Brian Daboll said that Tommy DeVito will be the starter. Drew Locke will be the backup. So Jones will likely be the inactive third string quarterback, and his tenure in New York is pretty much done. But ESPN, Ben Solak today suggests that the landing spot, the most ideal, the favorite on November 19th, 2024 for Daniel Jones in 2025 is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Joel, how do you feel about Danny Dimes in black and gold next year?
I'd rather not.
I agree. And I don't think it'll happen. I think there is a better chance that I try to come up with something funny that Daniel Jones will walk through that front door right now than him being the Steelers quarterback or a Steelers quarterback in 2025.
You can bank on Danny Dimes being somewhere other than Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to be in a Giants uniform. That's for certain. And the Steelers kind of already went that route, right? Sort of. Mitch Trubisky, second overall draft pick. Daniel Jones, a top 10 pick. Both relied upon at one point to be with the franchise that they were drafted by. To be the franchise guy. Obviously didn't. Obviously a bust. And the Steelers tried to bring a guy like that in once with Trubisky. I don't think they're going to do it again with Daniel Jones. I think the ideal situation is to bring Russell Wilson back for a Baker Mayfield-like extension, and I'm all for that. 412-928-9370 is the number. We're talking Steelers. Jim's in Monroeville. Hey, Jim.
Thank you for taking my call.
You got it, man.
You know, I just want to make 2 points and reference the past game against the Baltimore Ravens. Great win, right? Just a little concern about pass protection.
Okay.
I don't want to see Russell Wilson doing the old Russell Wilson thing, spinning around, running around. I mean, it looks good when it works and he completes a pass. And the guy's still athletic, no doubt. But that was my main concern when Fields was replaced. And, of course, I'm all for Russell Wilson going forward, everything. It's great. But with the pass protection being what it is, it's concerning. You know, it's very concerning. And I think in order for the pass protection to improve, I think the run game really has to take off, because I just don't see how, like, you could coach the next 7, 8, 9 weeks heading into the postseason and make the offensive line better. I guess that's possible, but I think really to get the pass game going, or at least to take pressure off the offensive line in pass protection, the run game has to get going. And I sort of liked what I saw from the run game. I mean, the Ravens only allowed 73 yards a game. We toppled over 100, which is a good sign, not great. But I think those are the two things this Thursday I want to see improve. I want to see better pass protection, and I want to see the run game. I do. I want to see Najee Harris out there, 20 attempts. Jaylen Warren, 10 attempts. I really do. I want to see more running this Thursday than passing.
Jim, let me try, and thanks for the call. Let me try and ease your tension here a little bit about the offensive line and compare it back to the Browns. And there's some texts coming in that I'm going to acknowledge in a second, and I'm kind of blown away by. So Myles Garrett's the leader on the Browns right now with 7 sacks. Again, Myles Garrett is not 100% right now. He popped up on the injury report today, questionable for Thursday with a hip. 7 sacks and 10 TFLs. He's the leader in both of those categories. Za'Darius Smith is the second still on the Browns in sacks with 5. Za'Darius Smith now plays for Detroit. You've got Dalvin Tomlinson with 3 sacks, interior lineman, and Ogbo Okoronkwo. I totally probably butchered that guy's name. He's got 3 sacks coming off the edge. I'm not worried a whole lot about Tomlinson, because I think the interior offensive line for the Steelers has done a pretty good job so far this year. And then you go over to TFLs. Garrett, 10 TFLs. And Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah also has 10 tackles for loss. He's on injured reserve. This Browns defense is depleted, and I think there's going to be a very, very legitimate shot for the Steelers to bounce back offensively this week, which is why I bring up the text now. And the fan text line, again, is brought to you by South Hills Key in Peters Township. A couple of you guys on here are, you know, it's a divisional game. Divisional games are different. A win's a win. I understand that, and in most cases, divisional games in the AFC North are different, like they were on Sunday. I'm sure everybody and their mother in Baltimore thought they were going to come up to Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers, and I'm sure a lot of you out there listening that are Steelers fans, myself included, thought the Steelers were going to beat the Ravens. And it ended up being a damn close ball game, and if it weren't for Chris Boswell's magical leg, we might not be talking about it the same way. Again, that's the example of the AFC North that I think you guys are trying to draw comparisons to. This Browns team stinks. This Browns team is depleted and riding with a backup quarterback. And now I will tell you, you know, maybe they were kind of riding a little bit of a high in that Baltimore win a couple of weeks ago, because Deshaun Watson gets hurt. It's Jameis Winston's first start with Watson being out for the year. Jameis Winston's a guy that I feel like can rally a lot of people around him, and he played a damn good game against the Baltimore team. That's a bad, bad loss for the Ravens. Since then, Jameis Winston has not played well. And another texter talking about Winston throwing for 395 yards against the Saints. Yeah, he did. But a lot of those plays, the one was an 89-yard pass to Jerry Jeudy where he did a lot of the work. And then the one touchdown that he had to Elijah Moore was pretty good. But Elijah Moore's questionable on the injury report as well. This Browns defense and this Browns team is hurt and depleted, and offensively they're riding with a backup quarterback. I don't think we should be holding this game to the standard of the AFC North battles that we're all used to. If the Steelers win this game 12-10, like a caller in the first segment suggested, I'm not happy with that. I need to watch this game on Thursday night and have full confidence by the time that it is over that the Steelers were the better football team and weren't in jeopardy of blowing a lead or losing the game. For 60 minutes, I need to feel confident that neither of those things, well, one of them obviously, yeah, the Steelers need to be the better team, that they aren't going to blow the game. I need to watch it and be confident in that for me to feel good on Friday morning waking up. If they're in a barn burner with Jameis Winston late Thursday night, I'm going to be a little upset. Because, again, I said it earlier in the show, 8-2, it's one of the better records in football. Let's look at the standings. Let's go down and look at some of the best records in the league. Detroit and Kansas City are both 9-1. Buffalo and Philly, well, Buffalo's 9-2. Philly's 8-2, along with the Vikings and the Steelers. What do you think they're saying in Detroit, Kansas City, and Buffalo on the talk stations and, you know, lunch break at work, at the lunch table, in all the high schools in those areas? What do you think they're talking about right now? They're talking about their teams playing for a Lombardi trophy in February because of what they've been able to accomplish so far this season. The Steelers have one of the best records in football. The Steelers have one of the best point differentials in football. And they've got a very, very, very good head coach and a quarterback that's been there, done that. We need to start holding the Steelers right now to a standard on which they can compete for a Super Bowl. And if they can compete for a Super Bowl, they can go into Cleveland on Thursday night and win convincingly. Another texter. Not looking for style points, just win. Do we really think that? If you're out there and you agree with me, you think that the Steelers need to go into Cleveland on Thursday night and take care of business and beat a 2-8 football team like an 8-2 football team should, I want to hear from you in the next segment. 412-928-9370. If you disagree, I would love to know why at 412-928-9370. Why do you think that the Steelers need to just go in and get out of Cleveland with a win and just say a win's a win? If it were Cincinnati, if it were the 4-7 Bengals, I would wholeheartedly agree with you, especially because Joe Burrow is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. That's a situation, even though the Bengals' record is not good. Yeah, 4-7. Okay, win's a win. Not against 2-8 Cleveland. Not by a long shot. A couple of you guys calling in now. We'll get to you before the break. First, Phil and Elizabeth wants to talk. Hey, Phil, question for you. How do you feel about this game going in Thursday night? Do you think the Steelers need to win convincingly, or would you just be comfortable with a win being a win?
Oh, I think me and you both know the way T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward played. I was telling my friends at work, the way they played in Baltimore, I guarantee you we are going to win. Because, you know, T.J. Watt, he didn't make a lot of sacks.
Yeah.
And I am so positive we got this game.
I agree.
And Cam Hayward, we can do it, buddy. We can do it.
Phil, thanks for the call, especially after what Myles Garrett said today about T.J. Watt. You'd like to think that there was a little bit more motivation in that regard. Nick in the truck. Hey, Nick.
How are you doing today?
Good. How do you feel about this game? A win's a win, or beat the doors off the Browns?
No, I'm 100% with you on this one.
Thank you.
I get the sentiment, you know, division game's a division game. But again, with a team like the Steelers right now versus a team like the Browns right now, to me, a hard-fought division game with these two teams against each other is a 10-14 point differential, right? Where if we wake up Friday morning and we beat the Browns by 10-14 points, I'm like, okay, a win's a win. There's probably stuff to talk about. I think we have to go in on Thursday. We have to handle business. I'm talking make a statement, right? We're 8-2. You come out of this game, division win, 9-2. You blow the doors off of the Browns, and I think we're having an entirely next-level conversation on Friday. I'm with you on this one.
Nick, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. As fans of an 8-2 football team, do you want your team to play in meaningful games in late January against Allen and Mahomes? I do. They're not going to do that by squeaking out of Cleveland on Thursday night with a narrow victory. They're going to prove that they're able to play in those meaningful games at the end of the year by beating a 2-8 football team like an 8-2 one should. One more before the break. Dylan in Forest Hills. Hey, Dylan.
How's it going, man?
Good.
So, I'm kind of flipping both sides of the coin here. I'll take a win any way we can get it, but I really do think this 8-2 Steelers team needs to go into Cleveland and beat the brakes off of them. I'm just going to make my prediction right now. I'm saying 37-17 Steelers.
Dylan, thanks for the call. 37 points on Thursday night is a lot for me. I was on a podcast episode with a college student earlier today, and I predicted 31-13. 37 in a divisional game to me is a lot, and it doesn't need to be that much. I'm just saying that this team needs to go in and take care of business against the 2-8 football team. I need to watch the game, and I need to have 100% confidence from kickoff to final whistle that the Steelers were the better team and they weren't in jeopardy of losing, to have a feeling like they can compete with Mahomes and Allen. And Jalen Hurts, for that matter, because you're going to see him in about a month. But Mahomes and Allen, more specifically, in a playoff game in late January. It's a good conversation. Let's keep having it. What do you want to see out of the Steelers on Thursday night? Are you comfortable with a win just being a win? Or do you need to see them beat the doors off the Browns? 412-928-9370. A break, and we'll come back with more of your phone calls next on the Fan Evening Show. All right, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It is here, the Chevy Red Tag event. Now through December 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Low tonight, 58. Couple of you guys on hold. The question was, what do you need to see out of the Steelers on Thursday? Are you comfortable with a win just being a win? Or do you want to see them take care of a 2-8 football team like an 8-2 one should? Johnny in North Huntington is up first. Hey.
Hey, I just got in a car. Who is this? Who am I talking to here?
This is Jack. Jack Hillgrove.
Hey, Jack. Okay, yeah, I didn't recognize the voice, and I just got in a car. I didn't hear who it was. Anyway, I'm really thinking we're in trouble. Just overall, this Cleveland game and overall. These people watching the games must not be watching the all 22s. Our receivers aren't getting separation. Our line isn't holding blocks minus three-fifths of our line isn't holding blocks. And there's receivers, defensively, there's receivers open all over the field. The quarterbacks are missing or not seeing. I think it's going to catch up with us.
I mean, it hasn't yet. They're 8-2, and they just beat one of the better teams in the National Football League on Sunday. I think we're being a little too pessimistic on that front. Mike in Johnstown. Hey, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Jack.
What's up, man?
I'm okay with squeaking out with just a win as long as we get out of the game healthy, because these are the types of games that we take for granted, and then something will happen somewhere along the lines where we lose a very key player and the rest of the season is up in the air at that point.
So if they squeak out with a win, would that not make you less confident that they would be able to compete with Kansas City or Buffalo in a meaningful playoff game?
Not necessarily, because we're going to have our full roster of people available to us when and if that point comes. But I'm comfortable with how we're playing right now. The game against Baltimore was one thing, but you know, if we don't look even relatively decent against these guys, I might have a few question marks. But as long as we get out of this healthy, I'm cool with it.
I disagree, Mike, but thank you for listening and thanks for the call. You look at, and we had a texter about this as well, you look at some of these games on Sunday. Jacksonville is a bad football team. Detroit is a very good and Super Bowl contending football team. They put up 50. Good teams are supposed to beat bad teams, and the score is supposed to reflect that. New Orleans is not a good team, and they blew out Cleveland, who's a bad team. We had somebody drop off. It puts BMW up next. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man? I completely disagree, Jack. Really quickly, just wanted to cite the last 2 years. The Kansas City won the Super Bowl. Last year, they lost to division rivals Denver and the Raiders. I know they finished like 7-10 or 8-9, somewhere around there. But they also lost to the Chargers, which was 5-12, and still won the Super Bowl.
They did.
Style points don't matter.
No, and I agree with you, but there
was a year before.
There was
real quick. I'm sorry. And the year before, they lost to